This week on Hysteria 51, the topic is none other than my hero himself, Mr. Alex Jones. Alex, do you have anything to say before we begin?
Down with the devil! Down with the fraud! Get out of the road! Get behind me! Get behind me, Satan!
Excellent point. Anything else to add?
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy. Ugh. Excuse me. I think my testosterone's going up. This happens every time I start working out a lot again. And I swam 2 miles this morning pretty hard and ate a big fat steak last night. It's full of hormones, testosterone on its own right.
Well said, my friend. Well said.
They say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy?
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
Brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51.
We're here.
The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in Hysteria Nation to the podcast that's never turned the frogs gay, but does have a favorite song about frogs. This is Hysteria 51.
I remember this from way back in the day.
So good. I love Leslie Willis, for the record. Anyway, we are broadcasting from the lower fourth dimension, otherwise known as Chicago. We're your hosts and head debunkers. He's Brent Hand, and I'm John Goforth.
Leslie Willis. Do you know he went corporate? It's true, John. Nullsoft took their slogan, "It really whips the llama's ass," for Winamp. From Willis' song, "Whip the Llama's Ass." Remember that shit?
I love the fact that, I mean, Leslie Willis aside, although I was a fan, I love the fact that Winamp literally had a slogan, "It really whips the llama's ass."
As soon as she turned it on, "It really whips the llama's ass."
Oh, Leslie Willis and Winamp, it makes me miss the 90s. And Brent, speaking of 90s technology, there is a third host of this show. He's angry, he's a robot, and he isn't that bright. He's the one and only Conspiracy Bot.
I don't like you.
C-Bot is a robot I built in my lab to help produce and edit the show. He thinks he's good at two things, enslaving the human race and world domination.
Damn Skippy.
But he's actually good at two very different things.
Drinking and spending money.
Don't forget that he's gotten pretty good at killing neighborhood cats, unfortunately.
Average at best. Half the time he comes home unfulfilled and full of scratch marks, which then I have to polish out.
Like your dating life.
You weren't even around for my... You know what? It doesn't matter. Anyway, C-Bot, I saw you had something you wanted to talk about, so go ahead. The floor is yours.
Well, since we're talking Alex Jones today, it got me to thinking. That piece of meat sack garbage makes a ton of loot on selling crappy products to his minions. Since my fans, the Botheads, are growing in number by the day, I've decided to release my own product line, starting with my own fine line of filtered spirits, Bot Booze. Check it out.
This is literally rubbing alcohol with the label ripped off and Bot Booze written in Sharpie on the package.
I'm small, it's called outsourcing, dumbass.
Okay, how much is it?
$80 a bottle, or 16 cats.
I don't think anyone will be lining up for this one, but he does bring up a good point. We are talking Alex Jones this week.
That is right, John. Since we were talking good old AJ this week, we decided to bring in some help. And by help, we mean two Alex Jones heavy hitters, none other than the gentleman who hosts Knowledge Fight, Dan and Jordan. Gentlemen, welcome.
Hey, thank you for having us.
Of course.
Fellas, if anyone's not familiar with Knowledge Fight...
Go fuck yourselves.
So many people are not familiar with Knowledge
Fight. And rightfully so. It is a tough thing to get into.
Well, once my tattoo gets put on Instagram, I think more people will know about it.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
We call it the Gram around here. Guys, tell us a little bit about the show itself.
That should be their slogan. Get on the Gram. Sorry.
It spiritually feels like it already is, to some extent, but
I digress. Yes.
Tell us a little bit about the show.
Is this a show where we talk a bunch about Alex Jones?
Full stop.
Yep, that's it.
Period. Now we can all move on with the rest of our days.
You might as well, because everyone just shut off.
Yeah.
Podcast.
To keep people interested, sometimes we talk about space liars, like people who tell stories about having gone to space, and sometimes televangelists, all sorts of people who are on like a very specific type of grift. Like these con men who are exploiting.
They're on the Jones scale.
Yeah. We talk about Alex Jones, but what we really talk about is scammers all across the board. You know, he's a great window into seeing what everybody else is doing because he's so transparently bad at it.
Exactly. How long have you been doing the show?
It's about 2 years now.
Yeah, it's about 2 years.
A little bit. We started the beginning of January 2017. Just
so
on
you're at the very beginning of the parabolic curve of the Alex Jones. Like people were, he wasn't in the mainstream zeitgeist 2 years ago.
Right.
It was a little bit. He was starting to dip his toe in a tiny bit.
But he was still one of those people that you could be like, I kind of enjoy watching him. You know, it was more like he was kind of a Howard Stern type. You know, and then he kind of jumped the shark. And what I mean by that is people still hated him but wanted to listen in some ways.
Right.
If they knew who he was until it went full-blown crazy.
Well, the stories that we hear from so many of our listeners is like, I used to listen to him when he was on the radio in 2005, and it was like, look at this crazy guy screaming about, you know, frogs and shit like that. And then you see this arc that him turning into a full hack, screaming about, instead of gay frogs and fun, how we need to kill gay people.
And
everybody was like, I think this is an issue.
we've gone one step too far into crazy. Now, guys, other than the show, what are you up to? You both either did or work in comedy right now?
Well, you're still, Jordan's
I'm still a stand-up comedy.
Okay, cool,
comedian.
Cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't. I just do the show.
Oh, nice.
And when I mean I just do the show, I mean I just
He literally just does the show.
It's basically that and playing Hyrule Warriors on the Switch. That's kind of 90% of what I do.
We're on week two of Hyrule Warriors watch.
Yeah.
Well, you guys are listening. They probably heard another voice just chime in while we were talking to these fine gentlemen. We got Joe Peck back this week.
Pecker.
His name is Pecker.
Joseph, there's been a Peck watch going on in Hysteria Nation.
We had the over-under and if you're still alive. You know, and
they were wondering
out
what was happening. You have graced us back with your presence. Can you let the kids at home know what you've been up to?
Literally waiting.
I didn't open the door for him for quite a while.
This was all a well-constructed plan to go underground for a little while, you know, get the people a buzz, a flutter with conversations about me. And it's all part of my master plan to one day at some point in time, for just a moment, for the entire world to be talking about me.
Now, during your time away, let's say, did you
in absentia is what we could call it.
Was it just a
it was on the tip of my tongue?
Was it just a media blackout, or were you like literally not leaving the house, eating a lot of peanut butter, that kind of thing?
Well, blackout's an interesting word to use in the whole arc of what was going on.
So you just drank a lot.
I you know, hey.
What do you mean by just?
Here I am.
That too can be an accomplishment.
I take pride in my drinking.
Hell yes.
As we talk about Jones, I was looking over your website. I think you guys summed it up nicely with some of the issues with Jones. I'm going to paraphrase, but you know, I saw you said,
How dare you?
I wrote it. You read
that
it.
That copy is perfect, sir.
Gold, Jerry.
The gist of it was, for years you could listen to the Alex Jones show and laugh at how he's out of his mind and be thankful that he's so far from being relevant and that he's basically scamming the void. And what we were getting at is that all changed big time. John, you were kind of saying that. What brought that change? What do you think?
Well, I want to hear their opinion. You know,
no, I wasn't talking to you. No one cares.
I mean, you can go back to Bohemian Grove, and he's the one that broke in there. But even back then,
he wasn't the first.
Yeah.
That's his version
of the story.
And
even the people that broke in, broke in with him are like, and he's lying about
what
he's
John Ronson said that he was lying about everything, and that Alex acknowledged that he was lying about
it. But John Ronson also said, we went in there, it was crazy shit going on.
Wow.
And it was. Well, and they kind
of... rich people fucking each other, so that's pretty crazy.
I mean, they're burning shit. Anyway, the point is, they come out and they're like, this is a story. This is something really interesting to report back. But of course, Alex had to take it to the next level and say that someone was being killed.
Right.
And so he was doing weird... He was doing shit for attention even back then.
Yeah, but that's what we call lying. That's the important part. That's the distinction that's important. Alex was lying about it. John Ronson thought, oh, it's crazy that the rich people who come to this place decide to spend their time this way. I wouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. It seems very interesting, but he wasn't lying about what he saw. Alex right. did because he knew it was a way that he could make a lot of money and create the mythology around himself that I'm the guy who brought you this information. The elites are into drinking blood and killing babies. All that stuff.
So. Right. And I guess I'm not saying he was the first in there, but you do get
No, we credit. All knew the elites were into drinking blood and killing babies. Sure. Yeah. That was
but
known.
But you do get credit for being the first person, like, if you're the one that brings things to light, if people all of a sudden are more aware of something because you said it, even if it had been said before.
Years mm-hmm. earlier, there were like news reports on ABC and CBS about Bohemian Grove and people going there. There had been people who had written articles for like Spy magazine about right. going in previously. So, I mean, I understand. I agree that he popularized it a little bit. But what he did was ultimately meaningless and deceitful. So I don't know.
Oh, I'm not defending him. I'm yeah. just
like, meaningless and deceitful. That's my kind of doc.
How many people went and saw Bohemian Rhapsody thinking that it was a documentary about Alex Jones's infiltration of Bohemian Grove? It now we know why it was so popular.
I guess we owe this to our listeners at home. If you don't know who Alex Jones is, well done. Number
yeah,
one.
I'm jealous.
But if you don't, we went to good old Wikipedia, and it tells us he was born February 11th, 1974, and Jones is an American radio show host and conspiracy theorist. Mm. He hosts the Alex Jones Show from Austin, Texas, which airs on the Genesis Communications Network across the United States and online. And Jones runs a website, Infowars.com, devoted to conspiracy theories and fake news, and the website News Wars and Prison Planet.
Also, don't forget Europe Wars. That's a new one.
Time to update Wikipedia.
Hello.
I saw a movie once called Prison Planet. Alex Jones was not in it. No.
It's we talk conspiracies all the time. You guys talk conspiracies. These people go to space.
Yeah.
I think the big issue is people think that's inherently bad. It can be, or it can't be. It depends on how you do it. And I think he's the perfect example of how you can make that a bad thing.
Conspiracies aren't inherently wrong to talk about. They exist. We've talked about it before on the show. There was the United States federal government agrees with the rest of us that there was a conspiracy to assassinate John F. Kennedy. That was a real conspiracy. Martin Luther King Jr. So those are real.
Fred Hampton. I will find a way to shoehorn Fred Hampton. into the FBI murdered Fred Hampton. Everybody needs to know that.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, I think, Brent, what you're alluding to are unsubstantiated bullshit to generate your own revenue.
He puts himself into these conspiracies or makes things conspiracies when they aren't. Look at his promotion of the Sandy Hook Elementary School as conspiracy theory. He's accused U.S. government of planning the Oklahoma City bombing September 11th. He claimed the moon landing footage was fake. You know, I mean, a lot of people has, but he does that consistently. And he's claimed that several governments and big businesses have colluded to create something we talk about on here, and Joe loves, the New World Order, through manufactured economic crises, sophisticated surveillance tech, and above all, inside terror jobs and attacks that fuel exploitable hysteria. That's a quote.
So, fellas, let's start there with, we just ran down, you could spend an hour on each of those.
Easily.
We generally spend 3 hours on each of those once a week, if not more.
In the time doing the show, what's been the biggest standout? What's been, you know, there's five news stories a week from him. What's been the one that's the most grotesque?
Yeah. Grotesque? I don't know. What comes to your mind?
As far as story, I think the one thing that I would say is more important to me is the overall. Like, we've gone back through episodes from 2009 of his show, and we've taken this whole journey of his career. And one thing that you didn't expect to find, or I didn't expect to find, was that he was actually a white supremacist from the very jump.
Well, just to be very careful with language, he had white supremacist leanings and sort of white nationalist leanings.
I'm going to have to disagree with you. He was a stand-up comedian for years.
Then
he died of pancreatic cancer, and then he became... Yeah, we'll get into that later. Mm-hmm. That's a little teaser.
I mean, even when we found some of that footage from the early, I think it was actually the late 90s when he was on public access and he was talking about how he and his people, his patriots, in quotes, were involved in a leaderless resistance. And it was around the time just after Louis
that
Beam.
Vague militia talk but everyone says, I'm not racist.
But it's a very specific reference to Louis Beam, who had the concept of a leaderless resistance as being the way to topple the government. And Louis Beam was a very specifically white supremacist, white nationalist militia type. So like going back and finding that sort of stuff, it makes you realize that even behind all the fun and laughs that we were all having, we just didn't realize that a lot of that stuff was a part of his worldview as far back as I've been able to trace it. I mean, there's a decent chance that it wasn't there at some point,
right?
But I don't know. I don't know when that would be. Every time
during his bodybuilding days when he
could have been.
Yeah, it could have been.
When he looked great.
Yeah, it's tough to lead a leaderless resistance whenever you're working out so hard.
Oh,
yeah, yeah,
you're
yeah.
gonna automatically be the leader with that killer bod.
He's a barrel chested son of a bitch. That's for sure. Now.
I don't know why that was funny to me.
So, speaking of reasons he does what he does,
mm-hmm.
Certainly political ideology, but there's probably, to him, I would guess, this is my guess, this is John's supposition, a more important reason, financial.
Right.
Sure.
Right, right.
And he makes a little bit of money from the stuff he does, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah, little coin.
Yeah, if you were gonna ask me why he does this, I would just be like, money! Give me money!
Cash register noise.
Yeah, exactly.
There was actually an article in a German magazine in 2017. They dug into his past and they found 2/3 of all of his funds derived from sales of this range of his own products. 2/3. That is an amazing amount of money coming from penis pills and virility medicine and shit
and
like that.
And speaking of penis pills, that is the only German magazine that Brent reads that has words in it.
Mm-hmm.
But go ahead.
Although, I mean, in that German magazine article, the interview that they did does involve something that Alex is very mad about. And that is that they said that he invited the interviewer to suck on his sausage. he insists he just offered them a sausage
when
and then they misinterpreted everything.
When you're being polite to someone, that's something you do.
Sure.
You know, I mean, that's how you host.
Every
you know?
Guest in my house gets that offer you at guys, least.
I feel bad now that you guys are here and I didn't offer.
Very
you know, but you know what? It's we're past that.
Did he pronounce it schnitzel when he offered it to the Germans?
He pronounced it penis.
That's the
penis schnitzel.
And by sausage, I want you to understand, I mean my phallus.
But these things, he sells these through his InfoWars website, through advertising spots on his shows. They include dietary supplements, toothpaste, bulletproof vests, and brain pills, which hold an appeal for anyone who believes Armageddon is near, according to the article. Like, that's who he's pumping this for. It's these people that he's telling them, you are going to die, get in your bunker, and while you're doing it, you want to make sure that you live as long as possible.
Right.
Thanks
right,
to my
right.
pills.
And well, that's one of the things that is, like, when you're talking about conspiracy theories being, can be used for good and for evil, when you take the people who are more likely to believe conspiracy theories and you take the conspiracy from like, I'm curious about
dullards.
JFK.
We call them dullards.
And, yeah. and turn it into something where everybody's trying to kill you. You're constantly priming people
right.
to,
right.
I need to buy this shit. Otherwise the government's going to finally get me.
You overwhelm their critical thinking skills and their lizard brain kicks in.
So it's funny. I've been watching. So we're doing some future episodes on Jonestown and other you know, cults and things like that. And I've been watching a lot of videos and documentaries and things like that on people that were this one gentleman who was in the Mooney and another who was in the Nazi skinheads. And they all say that exact same thing. You're preying on this. They all have the same MO. Mm. I don't care what the payoff at the end is, they all use the exact same tactics.
Well, and it is. I was amazing. Actually born in a cult.
Were you really?
Yeah,
wow,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. My family was part of the No Name Fellowship, which was just batshit insane. And it wasn't until the cult was directly responsible for the death of one of their children, not my parents' children.
A member's maybe. Child?
That the cult was broken up.
Wow.
Yeah, so it is definitely something that is obviously close to my heart.
So here's
where
the
was
thing.
That?
That would have been in Champaign and Spokane, Washington, weirdly enough.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not to turn this completely into that, does that fuel your desire to expose assholes like Alex Jones?
I don't know. I think I mean, the reason that I started doing the show with Dan was because he asked me and we didn't hang out enough. No. So my goal with the show was never to be like, we're going to debunk all the people who hurt me when I was growing up.
I think,
but it's a nice side effect.
I think that part of your history fuels the Project Camelot episode interest that you have
more. Yeah, yeah.
Those sorts of people, the new age culty kind of stuff is way more. Probably much closer to home.
Well, and the problem is a lot of those people that when you're in, you hate to say use the word cult, but when you're in it, you don't realize you're in it.
Nope.
A lot of times. Now, some people probably do, but the vast majority don't. And then when you see that, it's an attack on you. It's an attack on Alex Jones fans who are buying it hook, line, and sinker.
Right.
And you say that to them, and then they go, how dare you attack me? You don't understand. Well, one of us is wrong.
So, it was speaking of that, and you were talking about products. Very close to a cult are folks that are on the far, far, far religious spectrum. Fanatics, right?
Yeah.
No matter what religion you're talking about, whether it be Islam, Judaism, Christianity, or Shinto. I don't know any fanatical Shintos, but I'm sure they exist.
Mathematically speaking, they have
to. They have to, right?
One or two of them, yeah.
So I was watching videos on YouTube as I wish I didn't do as much as I did, and there was a televangelist, and it was a fairly well-known one. I don't remember his name.
Creflo A. Dollar? That's one of my favorite guys'
that's
names.
That's a great
you just
name.
Love the name.
A man who talks about his 7 boats and 13 houses to his congregation and then says, give me more money, please.
God needs me to have this to be able to preach the word to you.
That's exactly right.
Well, the prosperity gospel is fucked up.
Yeah. So, heck of a gospel.
That's crazy.
This guy was one of those, and he was talking about how not only did you need to prepare for end times, but you needed to buy your preparation gear from him, and there was...
Was this Jim Baker?
Jim Baker.
Yeah, this sounds Jim Baker-y.
He's selling buckets of all kinds of stuff.
That's
nothing
exactly,
tells the devil to shove it like a rock-hard penis, so we got this penis pill for you this week.
Well, no, it was a bucket of prep food.
Oh, yeah, that's like, Jim Baker.
Yeah, Baker's doing that stuff
pancake
now.
Pancake mix.
Now that he's out of jail.
And he's sitting on camera
jail.
Eating it, talking about how good it is.
My father was...
Praise the Lord.
My father was not a doomsday prepper. He wasn't any... He was a normal... person. But one time I remember as a gift he got me like one of those months packs of stuff. He goes, you never know, something might happen,
like MREs
in 1970. Yeah. Well, it was, they're like,
they're from 1953.
He's like, in 1978 we had an ice storm and we were out of power for 11 days and I'd hate to see that happen to you up there and blah 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 blah. I'm like, well, that's a normal way to think about it.
Totally.
But most people don't think that when they're buying, you know, dungeon rations. But
I just have a blanket in my car. I figure that's good enough.
But that's
it'll
how
get
a
the
lot
job
of this
done.
Stuff works, is that like you take a normal, rational position. Like when I was growing up, I grew up in Missouri, and like there's tornadoes from time to time. Yeah. So we would have a bit of food in the basement in case something went bad.
Right.
So you take that really reasonable, rational position, and you just go crazy with it. And that's how you make your money.
Someone in the background yelling, you're going to die! And you go, oh, maybe we are all going to die.
And yep. Jones certainly is preying on those folks, but he's not just doing it with prepper materials.
No.
He's doing it with...
gun
we
parts.
I was going to ask that. We mentioned a few examples, mm-hmm. penis pills, jumping into the...
It sounds like AR-13 lowers.
AR-15 like, lowers.
15, excuse me.
So, my question is, when we research Alex Jones, we do it on the
listen
periphery.
Listen to him say 13 like he doesn't, you know, have a whole collection.
I'm not a gun guy, well, but I don't judge people who have guns.
AF-12, is that what it's called?
I'm not a narc.
I'm bipolar. I'm not allowed to have guns for a lot of reasons.
The question is, we kind of look at Jones from the periphery. We go find the frogs are gay quotes, and
right.
We're not in it for 3 hours a day or whatever, however long his show is. What is the weirdest thing that you've heard him push?
Oh man,
for sale.
So back in the, it's hard to say exactly because it's tough to tell what is his sponsor and what is the Genesis Communications Network
right,
sponsor.
Sure, sure.
But the two weirdest commercials, well, I guess the three weirdest commercials I've seen on his show. Was one was from the government of Israel doing for their tourism ministry, their tourism board. They ran commercials on Alex's show in 2009 at a period of time where he was super in favor of the Palestinians. So it was a very confusing thing to hear. Like, I don't really know how to unpack
it. Did he voice
this.
It?
Israel is an apartheid state. It is killing the Palestinians, and now for this.
come on down to Israel. We're having a great old
great
time
vacation
here.
Spot.
It's a great vacation. What? Beaches and everything. You ever hear about this Jesus cat? He was from here. Have great times.
When I heard that, I almost just like fell out of my chair just of confusion. It's like, I don't know what's going on. The second was this this group called the Most High Family Ministry or Monastery. And they were one of these groups that broke with the Catholic Church when they apologized for the Holocaust. And
well,
like,
so yeah, you're taking it too far there.
Yeah, they're like, oh, we're not into this anymore. And they said that that was Vatican II, and they recognized their own like special secret pope.
Vatican II, Electric Boogaloo.
Exactly.
Man. So, yeah, like the dose pope? Like, what do you call it? Like, you know, I'm the poper. Popist. The papalist motherfucker out here.
That's exactly what he said.
I suppose they would be in favor of installing an anti-pope, which has happened like seven times. No, I'm yeah. not even joking.
There's
That's what they call it.
The black
historically,
pope.
There are anti-popes.
Really?
Where the people rise up and say, we don't like what, not the people, small groups of bizarre people,
a few people
rise up and say, we don't buy what the cardinals did. This guy's not our pope. Like, and they call them anti-popes. And a few times in history, they've had enough of a backing that it actually caused a legitimate problem.
Once
it actually happened, like an actual overflow throw back when the Pope was essentially the ruler of Europe, it actually occurred.
Wow.
Hashtag not my pope.
Yeah, there have been plenty of multiple pope situations.
Then there was the time they dug up a pope, literally dug up his carcass
to hold him on trial.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
That was great. They got him.
Very sensible.
They got him good. They got him. He was dead to rights.
No, come on. Come
all right.
On.
Hey, who wants to get in here? Who wants to join in with it?
I told you he's still a comedian.
So the thing great about, jokes like that.
But he took money from that group, the Most High Family Monastery, which is real fucked up cult that is anti-Catholic Church in a very strange, weird way. But the third one was really closer to normal, and that is there's a website called hideyourguns.com.
That is the one I was going to bring up.
And they teach you how to hide your guns and where
like,
not
like
to hide your guns.
Like prison wallet type shit or like in a wall?
I haven't bought the book.
Or is that a euphemism for a porn thing?
It is unfortunately not. It is literally just
hide
about...
Hide Your Gun 6 is the best cinematically of the series, Joe tells me.
They're trying to make it seem like it's a thing like, hey, the government's going to take your gun anytime now, but it's very clearly, if you go to the website, it's about how to make weapons caches.
Oh.
And that sort of thing, which is a really sort of fucked up mentality and practice for people to engage in.
If it was a porn, a lot of it would be a guy digging up a tree stump and then putting his
his gun
well,
under the tree.
Yeah.
Someone jacks off to that, I guarantee it.
That's probably true.
No, you say that. I'm glad you clarified because the idea of hiding someone's gun makes sense. Burglars
totally.
Would steal a gun. You don't want your kids near it if you have kids, if you have guns, you know.
Yeah.
Like, but here's how to hide 17 yeah. AR-15s.
Well, it's like when I get those
under your living room floor.
And about 60 paces from your front door. It's
well,
very
they literally easy. Have those burial. It's like a tub and it
yes.
screws together
yeah.
and you can put ARs or whatever in there and it's good for like 24 or 48 months or things like that.
Well, also even at its let's say most innocent, John, if it was what you were saying, that's still the people whose kids find the damn gun sitting in a shoebox up on the top shelf where Jimmy's not going to find the gun in here instead of locking it up in a safe.
That would be a right. disappointing book. Put it in a shoebox.
The larger question is, why is Jimmy looking for high heels? That's the issue here. And then he finds a gun.
That's exactly right.
So we talk about all these things that he is chilling. Well, California Medical Company, this place called Labdoor, they looked into and did tests on the stuff that he was selling, his pills and things like that. Six of Jones's dietary supplement products were tested. They included a product called Survival Shield, which was found by Labdoor to contain only iodine and a product named Oxypowder.
Deep Earth iodine. Please, get it right. Alex would be pissed.
Colloidal iodine.
Yeah, not to be confused with colloidal silver or sure. you know, gold or anything else you want to throw. It was comprised of a compound of magnesium oxide and citric acid, common ingredients in dietary supplements, period. That's it. And Labdoor indicated no evidence of prohibited or harmful substances. But they said there's nothing that he was marketing it as. It could you know, meet none of those claims.
Dude, you act like that's a bad thing. We've all read the outside of a Morton salt container. When it's not the iodized kind, they're like, this does not contain iodine, and that's a problem because you need it.
Iodizer. Yeah. It's funny. So they're
doing you a favor.
Well, they came out at the end and they said, quote, of all the products, the ingredients and the things he was shilling was too low to be appropriately effective. He's cutting corners or something, and I mean, who's shocked by that? No one should be.
Nope. Eh, it's homeopathic medicine. It's the same. It's the same nonsense. If you're a homeopath, you're getting water with a minuscule, microscopic amount of whatever it is you're supposed
to be. That's why I only ingest non-essential oils that I get from JOPEC. That's what I
trivial oils.
They're supplemental.
All of those products that he gets, those are all made by a guy named Dr. Group, who runs the Global Healing Center, just run out of Houston, I believe.
Right. He just sounds like he lives on a skull island.
Yes. Right.
He's a hippy-dippy non-doctor. He's a chiropractor and has no business making any of these supplements.
Everything I ingest shouldn't be grown. It should be mined. You know, like one of those deals.
He claims that his dad invented plastics, and because of the evil of that, he has to become a detoxifying doctor to undo the evils of his father.
I forgot that his backstory is he's undoing the evils of his father. Like he's
and his
like
mom
he's
got
Luke
shot
Skywalker.
A bunch of times or
like
something.
Yeah.
Right. Did you guys see the John Oliver on Last Week Tonight when he took on?
Oh, yeah.
Of course you had, right? He stated Jones spends nearly a quarter of all of his on-air time promoting those products.
I think that's high unless you count the actual committed commercial break time. He does do a lot. That's spiritually accurate. He spends way too much time plugging during the content of his show. But I from all the time that I listen to it, a quarter seems pretty high.
Really?
Yeah.
So John Oliver...
Maybe 20%.
Now, but
shots fired. Shots fired, John Oliver.
You know, that actually brings up a really good point.
Mm-hmm.
Because during his commercial breaks, he still voices some of the commercials.
Yeah.
And so to the common man or common woman... Is there a huge difference between Alex Jones talking about a product while he's talking about how the world's going to end thanks to whatever group versus a commercial break where he's also talking about a product?
Yeah.
Probably almost none, especially considering a lot of his commercials also involve bad times are coming. It's not, it's not usually just like the commercials.
Yeah, it's not the happy fun time hour. It's like doom's coming. Here's how you can prepare yourself for it. And if you don't. You don't love your children.
Yeah, absolutely. Get them Child Ease, his new, not new, but newish supplement.
Child size,
dose
45.
Seriously?
Yeah.
What is Child Ease?
I don't know. I haven't looked at the ingredients, but it's some supplement to make your kid happy and calm.
It's from it's the makers of Kitty Form. Chloroform Light.
Yes.
it's the same guys who make Temacil on Arrested Development.
Yes. It's like back in the day when... if your woman just was having a case of the...
She was hysterical?
Hysteria. You'd give her laudanum,
Yeah, and a good slap.
Or you would send her to the doctor who would just finger bang her until she was not as angry at you anymore. That's actually a true thing.
I finger banged her and drained about a quart of blood. Like, I think she's going to be real docile for a while. I think you're going to be okay.
Yeah, leeching is more of my style, personally. Yeah.
These are some of the basic bitches. We're going to go to break real quick. When we come back, we're going to talk some of the wilder claims. The claims he's made that have actually hurt people that we can physically see. We're going to talk that when we come back on Hysteria 51.
It's like you hurt people all the time.
Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really... get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it. So it's very high on pronunciation too. So you can, learn how to speak.
And our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation. Yeah, that's right. But they design it for long-term retention, if you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do, and then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in, and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition, and mm-hmm. it hears you. You get to use, like, the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused or really cool. I'd go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and both of us have given the seal of approval because we want to do this long-term, and it's something that it works. You know, and we don't do long-term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times. And it's always now, right now. Get started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit RosettaStone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, you're 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off. RosettaStone.com/today. Do it today. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when Brent and I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, we thought, man, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Brent is trying a plan right now and says that it works like a charm from Chicago to Nashville as he makes his big old move. Mint Mobile is working for him. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. So ditch the overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/hysteria. That's Mint Mobile, mintmobile.com/hysteria, HYSTERIA. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/hysteria. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Jones cry.
Just because we were going to talk about penis pills did not mean you needed to take them before the episode.
I didn't need to. That was that was just a plus. Yeah, you know.
They're good for circulation.
Bonus.
I like the podcast turgid.
Yeah, what do they say? That Viagra started as a blood pressure medication and they just saw an unusual side effect.
Yeah, it's basically just acai berry or something. I don't know.
We've been talking about Alex Jones, but we haven't gotten into why he's so popular. Mm. Most people who aren't initiated, and God bless them, because I wish I wasn't, still might be aware of the gay frogs thing. I mean, it's turned into a meme.
Turning freaking really frogs gay.
Right. We've probably played the clip on this show.
Surprisingly,
oddly
that's
enough,
one of his stories, yeah.
It's sort of true. Not the chemical by the U.S. government thing.
Yeah.
But
atrazine.
Brent, go ahead.
Yeah, they dumped chemicals in the water, which they didn't turn the frogs gay, but they changed genders and things like that. It was an actual exposing of chemicals being put in the water. That's a bad thing.
But not like
he jonesed it.
Right. Yeah. It didn't turn into a deliberate attempt to change the sexual proclivities of amphibians.
No, that was just a happy byproduct.
Here we are, just trying to do something illegal, and now we're changing genders? Come on! What are we doing here?
Every time, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the thing is, he gets so well known for that, but that's the most innocuous thing he's ever said.
I mean, it's innocuous compared to a lot of stuff, but what he's using that for is also an attack on the LGBT community. Like, it is still part of what that atrazine frog narrative is, because he takes this like misunderstanding of these studies that they've done and then tries to apply it to, this is why your kids are gay.
Right.
This is why trans people exist. That sort of thing.
Like, first it's in the water, then it's in the chemtrail.
Right, that kind of stuff. That's the implication behind a lot of that stuff. So I agree. It's more innocuous than some things, but it is also still sinister on some levels.
Oh, there's no question. Everything the man does is sinister. I'm trying to give lines of derivation between that and, say, sicking people on a group of people.
Totally.
You know, who might die.
But the thing is, and I think behind the scenes is, he's kind of what he's getting at, but he's pretty good at masking it in and of itself, so people don't realize that they're all of a sudden lighting up their pitchforks.
That's why he's gotten away with his show for so many years, is because he is good at that masking.
Yeah, he's a talented broadcaster. It's unfortunate because he's so awful, but there's a reason he's been around that long.
Right, and speaking of being a talented broadcaster, but also...
Thanks, John. I appreciate that intro.
Joe had something to chime in on. I mentioned before there were some things that could lead to bigger problems than the gay frogs. He's very anti-vaccine.
Yep.
Yeah, not only is he anti-vaccine, he's on that Jenny McCarthy train of it causes autism. And
I prefer to call it pro-measles rather than anti-vaccine. You don't want to define yourself as a negative thing.
That's a good point.
Pro-polio.
Pro-leo.
Pro-leo.
Which I just read thing where they looked at the measles vaccine and they studied it with other diseases, and they found when measles outbreaks would go up, deaths by other common issues would go up, like chickenpox and stuff like that. And it's because they found measles wipes out your entire immune system, and it forgets how to fight things you've already been either had or been
inoculated for.
And so people, when they get measles, then other people die, or they die from stuff that they should never have died of. So it's like his double-edged sword, and he's going, nah, man, don't get your kids vaccinated. Don't watch Sesame Street. Julia, they put a girl on there. She's an autistic Muppet. And he said she was designed to normalize autism to a disorder caused by vaccines.
If there's one thing we know about autism, the best response is to isolate and make the child feel as unusual as possible. We don't want to normalize
that's
it.
That's in the DSM.
We don't want to normalize it. Yeah.
That's why they had to update it to 5 now. Autism is evil? Ooh, we can't keep that one in there.
Yeah, his quote was, I'm just defending people's rights to not be forcibly infected with vaccines. You know, he's doing God's work.
Yeah, it's not pleasant. this sort of line of rhetoric of his, it bums me out.
I haven't listened lately. You know, measles have been in the news because of all the outbreaks, because of the anti-vaxxers. Is he addressing that?
Oh yeah, well not directly, but we did an episode recently about end of January, I think?
Yeah.
He made a harsh pivot back to talking about the issues again. His first day back on it was deeply anti-vaccination stuff. So he talked about it a bit, but he's not a guy who likes to get into the weeds and a lot of specifics.
How else is he going to push those InfoWars branded iron lungs? Right. I mean, they're not going to sell themselves.
Dr. Group has a warehouse full of them. And gotta go.
No, that makes sense, though, because any of the claims that he's making, if you actually got into the weeds on it, it's obvious to a 5-year-old or categorically false.
Yeah.
Right.
So
Well, he has that, like, there's that thing that's popping up, that ALF, the acute flaccid myelitis, I believe. The sort of...
I believe it's Gordon Shamway. Is that the...
ALF.
They call it the Melmacian disorder.
All right, guys.
Before you get up for that final snack, I want you to know I got your cat!
It's a condition that's sort of similar to polio, but definitely isn't polio. And it's popping up and incidences of it arising. And Alex's whole take on it is, not only is it not polio, it is secretly polio, and the polio vaccine gives it to you.
Oh.
Which are things that the scientific community is pretty roundly against
what
as being accurate.
What does the scientific community know?
Science. I mean,
come on. Big science.
The great science medicine wars have been going on for a long time, so the scientists are trying to give people polio.
Yeah. Is that similar to the franchise wars?
It's more similar to the late night wars.
Okay, got it. So you're saying Conan has polio.
Yes. Jimmy Carson is involved all across the board. Right. Yeah. He's also secretly alive. I don't know if you guys knew that.
Oh, I didn't.
He got that death vaccine.
Yeah, he's
Yeah, we all want
the super rich globalists get the death
moving
vaccine.
Moving away slightly from straight up children's death, the other thing he always talks about is, you know, remember our HARP episode that we did? You know, weather manipulation. He's a firm believer in weather weapons. Mm-hmm. And he claims that the president has access to weather weapons capable of not only creating tornadoes, but also moving them around on demand.
The Weather Dominator! That's literally an episode of G.I. Joe. That was my best Cobra Commander.
I believe that was also the plot of the Avengers.
Yes, yeah. That's correct.
The old Avengers. The old Avengers.
Yes, with the umbrellas.
Sean Connery. Yeah, Sean Connery was the one who could control the weather.
Yeah, and instead of a sweet suit made of nanotechnology, he had an umbrella.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, dude, that's what I want in my superhero.
6'1". She was 6'1", half dozen.
He was ironically
Scottish and evil.
Well, she was also a secret agent, and ironically, you can tell because they were ready for the weather manipulation.
Because
she wants her weather practically perfect in every way.
Exactly. They also wore raincoats.
Though I don't know, what's his name? Colin Firth did a lot with a umbrella.
That he did. Manners maketh
the
man.
The penguin. I mean, he's got an umbrella for every. True.
We can all agree that Danny DeVito has superpowers.
Yes, true.
Well, I prefer the Burgess Meredith.
We
could
also
vehicle.
All agree that Hurricane Irma was geoengineered by HARP, as he's.
Wait, I feel like that was a non sequitur.
I'm bringing us back.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Just bringing us back.
Although I think we could do another 15 minutes on the cinematic tradition of umbrellas.
I believe that's correct.
I didn't realize it was such fertile territory, but there are a lot of umbrellas.
It is ripe for irony.
He says all of these things are, though. Everything is under control, well, and therefore you should be more afraid of it than you would be.
It's not hard to make the leap that the government would want to control the weather, because if I was in charge, I would want to. And they've had things like, we found that
and we can all thank, choose your deity, I'll choose God. We can all thank God that Brent is not, in fact, in charge.
I would rule with an iron fist.
Thunderstorms every
night. We don't
even
want to think about it. Like, I like to sleep during the rain.
Yeah.
You know? The other thing, weather as a force multiplier, owning the weather by 2025, that was an actual thing that the government looked into. Mm-hmm. And so you pick it apart. You pick and choose what you want to.
Right,
to
because
look
there was a college, like a, not a college
it
student.
It was a U.S.
Like a,
Air Force
but
study.
But no, the guy who wrote it was like just out of college.
Right, right.
And it was literally just a paper theorizing how if we were able to own the weather, here's how we could dominate the world. Just like we study how we can, if we were to have more nukes, this would happen. If we were to have less nukes, I mean, they're studying things.
Yep.
And as that came out as part of a Freedom of Information Act with about a million other things, people zone in on that one and go, see,
got
HARP
one.
Yeah, exactly.
We got one. Yeah.
That's exactly how Alex works. That's a perfect encapsulation of it. You can have a study about, like, what would it be like if we could control the weather? He reads that. He reads between the lines. And he's like, I can read secret documents better than anybody else in the world. I read this study, and
that's
I know that
he's using his brain pills. So.
Yeah. They're admitting they have this without any proof that
so,
anybody is.
So on that topic, Dan and Jordan, here's a question I have from your time, you know, studying the realm of Alex Jones. We know his motivations, but the people who follow this, who eat this stuff up, one of the things I've always found unusual and puzzling is, on the one hand, you'll have what you just described. On the other hand, you'll have something that's publicly announced, such as fluoride in water, but that's also a conspiracy somehow, even though it's just being commonly told. So there's no reading between the lines there.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's some nefarious thing as well. Like, how can all of those all like wrap up into this? Like, why do people eat that up? Like, how does that work.
I think it offers them a simpler explanation of the world that doesn't require understanding what's behind things. Like, yeah. if you know there's fluoride in the water and some guy's telling you this is making people dumber, now you get to understand why people are not as smart as you want them to be.
I think it gives people this power that they didn't have, this right. power of knowledge. It makes a lot more sense when if you can think, well, the only reason I don't do this is because of some nefarious reason.
Yeah.
And I found it out.
Or also, on top of that, a vague narcissism, because right. they know this secret stuff that all the sheeple out there don't know.
Right.
And it makes you feel better.
I would also argue that one of the reasons these things are so effective is because it's a bit of an affectation. Like somebody who...
Like an umbrella.
Yeah, like an umbrella. Somebody who just starts yeah. suddenly carrying an umbrella around with them all the time because they don't... Because they need to differentiate themselves from other
excuse
people.
Excuse me, this is a camisole?
Yeah, see? Exactly. And that's yeah, why, the, that's why you get into that? These...
Peacocking, right?
Yeah.
Another guy who used to do that and who I think has dialed himself back considerably and now on one of your most recent episodes you were talking about him mm-hmm. and how Alex Jones hates him now or at least he does publicly Joe Rogan.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about the history there.
Yeah.
The two of their history?
Yeah.
Well, they've known each other since like 98 or something like that, back when Alex was a real local personality and Joe was a touring comic. And I don't know. I really don't know too much about like their friendship outside of what they've publicly disclosed. It just seems like they both thought they were crazy and fun.
Right. So there's videos of Rogan.
They got drunk together. That's pretty much it.
Good point.
Yeah.
There's videos of Rogan talking about, you know, he'll be in front of the White House and pointing at it and going, these are the ones who are behind it. Like, he was a bit of a conspiracy theorist himself. Totally. And so he and Alex did videos together back in the day before anybody was watching them, comparatively speaking. Now,
like the two of them running around with the Bush masks.
Yes,
on.
Yes.
Joe getting high in a bathroom.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
Now, Rogan pulled a Dennis Miller and went 180 on where he had been before. I'm not saying they're both aligned politically. I'm saying they went 180 from where they were previously. And Rogan now, oftentimes on his shows, is debunking and calling bullshit on a lot of this
on
kind
his
of
own,
thing.
And he actually will say it about him himself.
About himself,
and
right.
he'll go, I've learned since then this, that, and the other.
So is it as simple as he's not on my team anymore, so I'm going to attack him from Jones?
I think he sees Rogan as a opportunity to get publicity because yeah. he doesn't have access to social yep. media and all that stuff anymore. And so part of it is he's not on my team. Part of it is a personal betrayal. But I think the largest part of it is this is a free conduit to his audience. If I can get if I can start a fight with him, that's free press.
You have to fuck up so bad that you are banned from social media. Period. You know what I mean?
I think he's still on Pinterest. Maybe. Right. Maybe.
He's pinning away like a mother. Yeah. It's like,
well, what about the gram?
A John Mulaney. Joke. He's talking about O.J. Simpson. He's like, do you know how bad you got to murder a motherfucker for them to stop making the Ford Bronco? It's like, you know how much you got to fuck up where they're just like, you're not allowed to have this anymore.
With the Rogan thing, I think the difference between him and like a Dennis Miller type is that Rogan, like you even mentioned, that he is willing to say that he was wrong about things and he learned more. There's an intellectual honesty to his change from where he was, well, I don't know, how old would he have been, like 20-something?
Right. Yeah.
Back then to now? And I think that there you can understand how a younger person, especially an aspiring comic who does a lot of drugs, like hallucinogens and stuff, that they would
DMT.
Sure, you could end Ooh. Up being in that headspace and then grow out of it.
Right.
So I understand that. I don't think that there's anything like intrinsically dishonest about that path.
So I feel like he used to be the Eddie Bravo, and now he's became Joe Rogan. Eddie Bravo, if you ever watch him on Joe Rogan, he's like, "Look into it, bro. Look into it. Look into it."
Yeah,
he just makes outlandish claims, and you go, well, "I don't know about. Look into it."
Eddie Bravo is the most credulous person there's ever been. He will believe anything except
Bro,
for what you tell him.
Look into it.
So I don't know who Eddie Bravo is.
Well, it's like Eric Cartman. As long as you ask it as a phrase it as a question, then you can say anything you want.
Totally.
Is totally? Brent Hand secretly experimenting on children in the non-existent basement?
I don't know. I'm asking.
I'm just asking.
And I wasn't implying that it was disingenuous.
Sure.
I don't think that Dennis Miller is disingenuous. I think he literally had a certain way of thinking. And now he became he went 180. He was a liberal, and now he's a right-wing conservative.
You know what caused that? His ill-advised stint on Sunday Night Football.
Monday Night Football.
Was it Monday Night?
Yeah.
Getting sacked from that.
Well, gentlemen, it's something that we're not going to have to worry about too much longer, all these things, because as Jones has told us, white genocide's coming.
Oh, yeah.
He tells us that all the time. So we're going to be gone. And
I am famously a soft yes on white genocide.
Famously.
I can be convinced otherwise, but for now.
Famously.
So you were with the NFL players who were kneeling during the anthem because that was pro-white genocide, as he said.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, violence against whites, that's all. It wasn't about equality or anything like that.
No.
Fear-mongering at its best, I think, is the best way you could put that.
Oh, he does so much worse in terms of the white genocide stuff. Like, you can really trace down that being a piece of so many of the narratives that he puts forth. And he even has guests who are, like, overt. Like, he has this guy, Simon Roche, who's a member of the Sweetlanders down in South Africa, to come on to pitch these just completely overblown narratives about the whites being all killed in South Africa.
Wasn't he a VJ on MTV in the mid-90s?
That was Simon Rex.
Oh.
That's dirt nasty. Thank you very much.
I was close. Thank you.
I only corrected that because I was thrilled I remembered it.
So that's fake danger. Real danger. Real danger. Sandy Hook. You mentioned it earlier, Brent. This is the one that gets me probably more than the rest of them. And if you're not familiar, the horrible mass shooting of a lot of children at that school. And it is. And Jones has made it his mission in life to convince people. Well, actually, no, he's using it as everything else we've talked about in this episode just to get ratings. But to tell everybody it didn't really happen. Those were crisis actors. And what happens is his supporters go after the parents of these poor parents that lost their children in that mass shooting.
Publishing their addresses. They move, change information. They republish it, stuff like that. And if you guys remember, I, this is something, I don't know why it stood out so much to me, but it did. He was making these claims actively as like it was happening. Like that night, he's on there making these outlandish and horrible claims.
He does that all the time. Like on the day of the Boston bombing, he was on his show almost immediately saying it was fake and all that. Like it's how he needs to operate in order to keep the base scared and excited.
It's one thing to say something didn't happen and didn't exist and just playing to the lowest common denominator.
Mm-hmm.
It's another thing to motivate your base to the point in which they attack other people.
Yeah.
Both physically and psychologically. Thank you. Psychologically. I've obviously been psychologically attacked. Psychologically.
Weather weapons.
People have had to move numerous times. People are, their lives are so much more, are so much worse than just the fact that they lost their children. And it's all thanks.
I lost my child, and then it got even worse.
And right.
Yeah, it's re-traumatization. It's just like consistent over and over again.
Is there, I don't listen to enough Alex Jones to know you guys are the experts. Is that because it involves the, like, literally, you can see the direct correlation between the words that come out of his mouth and a person like living a worse life and the traumatization of them? Is there a more or as direct example of him being a horrible person than that?
That is a good question, because he is truly a monster.
Yeah.
So it's hard to pull out a greatest hits.
Is this the worst thing he's done?
I would say it's definitely in the conversation.
Yeah.
And especially because he knows now very clearly how damaging it is for him to admit, I did that. I lied about Sandy Hook. I said it was fake. There were only actors there.
He knows very well because he's going to court over it.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. But even if it weren't a legal issue, I think he's aware now that it would be such a bad look for him. And so that he says, I just had debates about it. I had people on the show. We looked at both sides, that sort of thing.
Right.
He can't even admit I fucked up back before the statute of limitations for defamation and stuff like that. He can't own up to it because he knows how monstrous and how evil those actions are.
I suppose the Pizzagate stuff probably, if the person had killed somebody
at Comet Ping Pong,
the shooter. If the shooter had killed him, you know, because it's like, then he would be forced. It would be like he caused Sandy Hook, not he fucked up and
the
ruined
one
people's
time
lives.
A shooter,
you know?
Went. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
I think I've been led astray.
On that topic, where on the scale do you guys think there's intention to what he's doing? And where do you think it's something where he sees an opportunity to seize on a current event that like can cause some controversy and get him some ratings, and it spins horribly out of control? And he can't go back, like what Dan was saying, he cannot go back and say, I did this.
Piggybacking on that, but that's what I was going to say. He's like, do you think, like, and I think we're saying the same thing. Is it an act? Is it a character? Or is this, does he really think these ways? Like, has he gone too far with the character, so he's got to hold on to it? Or does he really feel that these
I just watched that Fire documentary, Fire Festival documentary. And I watched the whole time on Netflix. Yeah. The whole time I'm sitting there wondering, did this guy plan this stuff out like years in advance, and this was the culmination, and he has stashed away all kinds of money? Or is it something that just spun out of his control and he did not have he was not equipped to,
it was hard to get a read on that
to manage
too.
That. Yeah.
This is actually something that we talk about inexplicably still after doing this show for 2 years and countless hours.
Probably, you go one way, then it tips you the other way.
You kind of land on, he has a few things that he truly believes in.
Guns.
Absolutely that guns. That might be the end of it.
Yeah.
He just really loves guns.
I can't imagine many other things that are like off the table.
Well, erections, right? He really loves erections.
Clear mind, erections, and guns. Yeah.
Mm. Full hearts can't lose. I believe that's the full I think that's the full reference there. So with so much of this stuff, it is, you know, his white supremacy or white nationalist leanings, that usually ties directly to his love of guns. The reason that he was denying that Sandy Hook happened was because he thought people were going to try and take guns away. The reason that he attacks so many different people is so he can protect himself from his guns getting taken away.
I grew up in the middle of farmland and the country, outside of a town of 700 people with guns.
Sure.
Somehow, I'm not a white nationalist racist fucktard.
Totally.
How the hell?
Well,
do so many make from the jump from one to the other? Why is it? Because I think there are a lot of people that are normal and still have guns or like guns.
Totally.
But they probably don't want to say it because of people like that, and it's like these diminished returns of, you can't even come forward with that, and people pounce on you and bash.
I think that the difference between a normal person who has guns and likes them and Alex is that Alex, from a very early age, was introduced to all sorts of weird anti-communist propaganda that came out of like the John Birch Society, W. Cleon Skousen's book, The Naked Capitalist, Gary Allen's None Dare Call It Conspiracy, and then also The Protocols of the Elders of Zion are obviously, obviously something that he's read.
Is that Bill Cooper mentality.
Yeah, us he loved them. Bill Cooper too, exactly, undoubtedly. You
know? Bill Cooper did not love him back.
No, hated him. Yeah, he hated Alex.
But that's impressive.
Yeah, it is. That he had those instincts.
Unless you're the government or, you know.
Anybody. But I think that might be a good example. Bill Cooper was a true believer in his shit.
That's a good example. Bill Cooper, I think, you're exactly right. Yeah.
And that's, he would
for better
Alex.
Or worse, he was a true believer
in
whatever.
Usually for worse.
You get credit for really being anti-Semitic.
He swore the protocols weren't around about the Jews.
Oh, of course.
Except for that part where he talks about how the Jews are going to take over.
So we did an episode on Bill Cooper, and one of the first things was the protocols, you know, Zion, that's not anti-Jew.
Yeah.
And John's like, except for this, and then the guy never responded again.
Before we did the episode, I didn't want to be, a lot of people reference these texts from the conspiracy world, like Behold a Pale Horse, the Protocols of Zion, etc. I didn't want to just talk about them in the etheric and like, oh, well, people have told me that's anti-, so I read it.
Yeah.
And
Lord, did we read it.
And so when people are like, well, it's not actually, like, well, have you read this paragraph?
Yeah. We will dumb down and enslave the goyim. Oh, boy.
Exactly. Yeah,
we did an episode about the protocols a while back. And anybody who tries to make the argument like, no, this is about the New World Order. It's like, no, you're just telling on yourself that you think the New World Order is Jews in charge.
Exactly.
So I think that because he internalized a lot of those things from a time when he couldn't have possibly understood what he was reading, because his brain wasn't fully formed.
Which is recently as well.
Sure. But so he had those ideas in his head, so everything that appears to be a threat to his guns, even if he perceives it as such, is now this giant cabal of overpowered people who are all connected, who are working against him specifically. There's that paranoia that most people who just like guns don't
just
feel.
Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean you're wrong.
He's wrong.
Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean the Jews aren't actually coming to kill you.
Now, yeah, exactly.
Sometimes they are.
The ultimate question here is not if he's wrong, but it's a question of what's the percentage mixture in that sick head of his that is true believer in his bullshit and profiteer. Is it 50-50? Is it 30-70? No one knows.
Mm-hmm. I think he summed it up nicely. Like, they douse themselves in it, and they don't know. Still, you go back and forth.
Yeah, one day it seems way more like he's sincere, and the next it's like, you just did a 30-minute commercial on air. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, that sort of thing. So it's hard.
In any tragedy that happens, he tacks on to all of this. From 9/11, the Oklahoma City bombings, those were obviously false flag events,
all
the school shootings. No matter what tragedy we're talking about, up to and including like tornadoes and natural weather events, he finds a way to tie it. And so that's where you don't know where the line is. Is he just doing this to sell preparation kits, or is he doing this because he truly believes?
There's something to be said about the mask you wear becomes your true face if you wear it long enough.
True.
You know? Maybe he does believe all of it now as compared to at a certain time.
That's a good question.
Yeah. You know?
I would suggest that it's also not just a dichotomy like with two options. You have like the idea that he's a true believer or a scam opportunist. And I think that there's even a third prong on that is victim of propaganda himself. Like, in as much as, you know, how much could be acting out the response that a child might have to these dumb books that he read when he was younger and couldn't understand them. I don't mean to say that in some way that like we should all feel tons of empathy for him or let him off the hook, but I think it's an important piece of like what also could be motivating a lot of this, just a sort of visceral childish reaction to fear.
So this is where someone throws in the Michael Jordan meme. Stop. Get some help. You know, like, that's just the
it
way
could have
it
changed
is.
The world if he did.
Right.
You know, like way back when it could have mattered.
Well, we're going to hit a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about one of my favorite parts of the story, which just blows my mind. Is he part of this Andy Kaufman style social experiment run by the CIA? I know that sounds crazy, but it's literally a conspiracy about him. We're going to get into that.
It is one of the greatest mysteries in the scientific world.
Nation, we want pictures of your dogs. That's just a personal request from me, but while you look for a good one, let me tell you about something near and dear to mine Brent's hearts, your dog's health. You may have noticed lots of dogs suffering from health issues these days, joints, odors, it's not good. Actress Katherine Heigl noticed these issues too, and after a ton of research, there was one place she found we can look to support any dog's health, their food. So she created Superfood Complete, food for your four-legged friend that's made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Her company, Badlands Ranch, also supports the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Now, I know Brent has used Superfood Complete with his lovable meatballs, and they absolutely love it. He said it's easy to prepare, both his guys grow crazy for it, and he loves knowing what he's giving them is healthy and full of ingredients that are actually beneficial to his little rapscallions. You can try it for yourself by going to badlandsranch.com/hysteria and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/hysteria today.
Usually Joe's sitting next to me when we record. Now he's across from me. I can just stare into his eyes and, you know, judge him.
Brent's mesmerized.
It is. So, John,
yes,
how's this all a huge joke? Or a CIA experiment? What's going on?
Well, you didn't realize this. We probably should have led the show with this. Alex Jones is actually the deceased, quote-unquote, Comedian Bill Hicks.
Oh, duh.
You know, it was right in front of me. You didn't know. I'm sure a lot of our listeners didn't know that, but
Bill Hicks
is
the comedian people love to tout. Oh, Bill Hicks was the greatest. Well, just literally stole his whole act, you know. So
stole his persona.
Yes, exactly. If you like Bill Hicks, or if you like Dennis Leary, well, you would love Bill Hicks kind of thing. That's because he didn't go away. He just became Alex Jones.
Does that mean that Dennis Leary stole Alex Jones's shtick?
Well, maybe they. Oh, good. Maybe question. He's in on it. Maybe he's part of the CIA. Operative.
Didn't you? Oh, you know how Friends in Low Places, there's a second version that has the third verse.
Oh.
There's a second version of I'm an Asshole that has the third verse about gay frogs.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
That was not on my copy of. I'm going to bet that CD was called I'm an Asshole, right?
Yeah.
Assuming that it is, like, it's just all I can think about is that Bee Gees song from the 70s. I started a joke that started the whole world crying.
So the long and the sweet of this is Bill Hicks allegedly died of pancreatic. I say allegedly, I felt dirty saying that. died of pancreatic cancer in 1994, but he was actually recruited by the CIA to become the controlled opposition by the mainstream media. And he is continuously fed approved intelligence by his CIA handlers. Those are quotes that I found online. By who? I'm not telling.
Most of the websites were Angel Fire.
GeoCities.
Yes. Yellow font.
You can only find them by searching through Lycos.
Yes. I use Dogpile. But
yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. On your Netscape Navigator. Yeah.
So what kind of proof do we got, John? What are we working with?
Well, I mean, if you close your eyes, hit yourself in the head a few times, they sort of look similar.
I will say they do look similar. Like if you told me they were cousins, if you told me they were cousins, I would buy it.
But you understand that picture of Alex Jones looking swole as shit in the gym, like that's from around this period of time. He doesn't look anything like Bill Hicks then.
No, not at all. But I'm just saying, like, if you had to bear with me and say they could be. Oh, I'd buy that.
In that case, yes, totally.
The hair, people will go, oh, look at the hair. No, number one, Bill Hicks had a lot more hair. He had that baby mullet, you know, a lot of time going on. They both have jacked up teeth. They're not the same, but people love. I've looked at way too many photos of zoomed in on both their mouths to look at their. Like,
whoa, I think we just learned something about Brent here.
And that was just
the weirdest
spare
part
time.
Is why the third photo was zoomed in on John's mouth. Right. That's the part we didn't understand.
Right.
Did you see any pictures of those people who do like the ear, the spiral of the ear is the same.
Where they draw like the points and the lines.
Yeah,
And then they go, well, the nose is wrong, but who can't afford a nose job? Of course the CIA would have done that.
Of course.
Right.
So the AV Club, they actually summed it up with this. Hicks and Jones admittedly do share a passing similarity in looks, and both are given to passionate oratory, but Hicks existed on a widely different side of the political divide than Jones. Did he make the switch like we were talking about before with Miller or something like that to go to the CIA and start yelling?
The
or
Rogan
what?
Twist is what we call it.
Now. Was he ever on Monday Night Football?
It's sweeping the nation, the Rogan Twist. I don't know. What do you think? Like, is there, do you put any, of course you
no.
don't. Of course
no.
you don't. That's dumb. Why, better question, because that's dumb. Why is this coming up? Why did this become a thing?
I was really worried that when you guys said you wanted to talk about him being Bill Hicks, that like you were going to take it seriously.
No.
I'm very glad that's not the case.
We are.
I mean, the reason that people make this connection is because both of them were really passionate about rebuilding the church in Waco, the Branch Davidian Church. Bill Hicks and Alex Jones were both people who were really involved in that, and it was around the time that Bill Hicks died.
Well, who doesn't want to defend someone who was fucking little children? I mean, of course you want to rebuild that church.
Well, their argument is that he wasn't. That's government propaganda. They're wrong, but that's their argument.
The children's argument that are now adults that survived, I kind of tend to put a little bit more of you know,
they have
stock
in that. They have an interesting story to tell, and it's that David Koresh was a big old pile of shit.
Yeah.
But the two of them were interested in trying to rebuild that church, and there's a producer that Bill Hicks worked with. I believe his name was Kevin Booth.
Yes.
And that Alex and him were good friends because of the connection through the Waco church. And so over the years, Kevin Booth has come on the show, and they've sort of trolled the audience a bit. Once this idea that he's Bill Hicks started coming out, like Kevin Booth would call Alex, quote unquote, accidentally call him Bill, and that sort of thing, yeah. just to
to
fuck with people, right. and it sort of spiraled and it got a life of its own.
And Alex has once said, "Oh, you know, we'll be back. I'm Bill Hicks or whatever." There's a famous video of that.
Yeah, I think the most offensive thing about that conspiracy theory is the idea that Bill Hicks would not have beaten the shit out of a CIA operative coming to see him. Bill Hicks fucking hated the CIA.
Like, Bill Hicks kind of hated everyone in a delicious fashion. Yeah. That's why he was so. Yeah, he was just. Comparing them is disingenuous to the history of Bill Hicks, and I think that's the big thing. Like, people don't. I think it's a way for people to reconcile how crazy Jones is, maybe. I don't know.
Well, isn't that the great irony, though? Like, he's built an entire audience set around the concept that you can explain things and that anything that seems out of control is actually explainable, that there's this thing that's in control, and the people who dislike him want to explain how a guy can be so out of control.
Bingo.
And so they're creating a conspiracy. It's like the amazing two sides of the coin.
Yeah, it's like his audience using his own tools against him to a certain extent.
Right.
Or other people using the same tools. I think the other thing, too, beyond the Waco connection, is that people really struggle, and I do too, with trying to understand how Alex can only be 10 years older than me.
Right.
Like, he looks like shit.
Alex is only, like, 3 years older than me?
Yes, he's 4 years older than me, and he looks like he's 60.
Yeah.
Right. He's like, he's born in, what was it,
74? 74.
Okay, so he's got 5 years on me.
And so the idea that, like, he was secretly Bill Hicks would make him older, because Bill Hicks didn't die at 20.
Bill Hicks would be 53 now, I think. Quote me, but I looked that up or something like
that. So that would explain Alex's appearance.
Yeah.
But that's not good enough to prove a case.
So I guess the big question is...
Well, survival shield's obviously not working very well for him.
The nascent iodine.
What we haven't talked about is his knowledge that he is faking it. So when he was in court, he literally said, "This is a show. I'm putting on a show. I don't believe a lot of this." How did he explain that away? Has he talked about that on his show?
His lawyer said that he was a character and all that stuff. So Alex can always say that I didn't say that and that sort of thing and dismiss it. And, he just sort of bluffs around with, like, "I'm playing a character when I have a Joker mask on the show, but not when I'm telling you the truth." That sort of thing. It's a really easy pivot for him to make.
I think the real situation with that is more just every single person knows that he is either playing a character, or that if he weren't playing a character, in order to get out of the lawsuit, he has to say he's playing a character.
And that was a lawsuit where he was going, it was a custody hearing. Like, so it was about his kids being not allowed to live with him. And so the stakes were high.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, well, I'm either crazy or an actor.
But isn't that the other thing?
If you think he's telling the truth, then you are, then you know he's a character already.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think he's lying, then you know he's lying in order to get his kids back. So of course he's lying.
Right.
So of course he's really true, but he has to lie. So it doesn't matter.
It's the classic kind of cult behavior. It's, "No, I'm lying to everybody else."
Exactly.
You guys are the ones I'm telling the truth to.
Cool.
We have to lie to everybody else because they're all against us.
Speaking of these lawsuits, he's also being sued by the family of the Sandy Hook victims. And we actually brought this up on our page recently, and it got a kind of heated arguments over, is what he's saying freedom of speech?
Well, people get lost on what freedom of speech is. Number one, private companies don't owe you freedom of speech. They don't owe you anything. They can just like no shirt, no shoes, no service, they can refuse service to whoever they want.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
And second, freedom of speech does not protect you if you're hurting other people through your speech.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's not absolute. Like, you want it to be as close to absolute as possible, but like, if you threaten somebody, that's a crime.
Yeah, they always
say you can't yell fire.
Yeah. Yeah. Or if you extort somebody with your words, that's not freedom of speech.
That's why there's slander and libel rules out there, and but you know what? I don't have my law degree. We did have someone with a law degree explain it to us.
I do.
You dabble. I dabble.
Bird law.
So
bird law.
The big question I have for you guys, can he find redemption in the eyes of common Americans, or is he forever tainted? That's a big one, because he's banned by social media, he's banned by iTunes, he's banned by YouTube. What's he do now, and does that involve him finding some sort of redemption, or is he just forever going to be this joke?
I would say he loses no matter what. no matter what, because if he wants to find redemption in like real people's eyes, then he has to abandon his base. And real people aren't going to buy anything from him.
Nope.
So, yeah, sure, maybe everybody sees him rehab his image and we're like, well, we don't hate that guy now, but he's out of a job, you know?
Right, right.
So if he wants to get redemption, he loses all of his money.
Right, right. And that's a...
That's a kind of check out.
Hell of a pill to swallow.
Exactly.
Pun intended.
So, and it's
easier
not like he's going
to... Easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle.
Right.
It's not like he's going to go to MSNBC once he makes it all the way through. He's...
I could see him on Mad Al.
Yeah. Screaming at her like he did that British TV show.
Yes.
I think that he hates all those stations because he thinks they're all globalist run.
Right.
And I think that he does make more on his own show than they could offer him in a contract. So I, even with his diminished access to social media and stuff, I think it would be a step down for him that he wouldn't want to take.
I think in a lot of people's eyes, him being ripped away from social media and stuff like that almost put him up on a pedestal for his true believers and followers.
Totally.
Because now he is a martyr.
Yeah, well, it's like the televangelists. Like you literally are tightening up your grip on that small group of people who will give you everything they have.
It's unfortunately exactly what happens right before things get very dangerous in cults or political movements.
But it's a very short walk from I'm kicked off Facebook to let's kill a human.
Brent, you asked about redemption. He might seek a certain type of redemption.
True.
And that is, if we're going with a theory that I posited earlier, that it's mostly about the money, he is losing literally millions of dollars by not having access to these audiences. He has been cut off. Web traffic, you guys probably know the numbers better than I do. Web traffic to his web to InfoWars went down by like 2/3 or something after he got cut off. It's just a reality that there's a certain percentage of humanity that unless you're reminded of something, you don't go back to it. Mm-hmm. Even if you're a fan of it when you go there.
Out of sight, out of mind.
And he is out of sight right now to a large percentage of people. So that redemption he might seek is not a bad on me redemption. Mm-hmm. It's a, how can I get myself back onto YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, etc.
He has other accounts that are still posting him and streaming on YouTube. It's just a matter of finding it, and he can't promote them because if he does, then they'll get taken down.
Right, and now,
but there's still tons of people who watch them on YouTube. It's pretty simple to do.
Right, but they're seekers.
Right.
There's passive.
Yeah.
And then there's active. The active folks are still seeking him and will find him.
Mm-hmm.
The passive, but the difference between those two is millions of dollars for him a year.
True. True.
And so that's my only point is financially he is, I mean, they cut his legs off a little financially. Now I'm sure he's set for life, I'm sure. But,
totally.
You know, in that ever, I mean, so are all the rich people in the world, but that doesn't mean they don't seek more money.
Yeah. The factor that's not being taken into consideration is that there's a very good likelihood that he's getting money from clandestine sources. Like, I can't really specifically nail down what, but I don't think that he makes all his money on his supplements by a long shot. I think that there's other sources of it, and those wouldn't be cut off necessarily by YouTube and Twitter and stuff being
someone
gone.
Someone is making a killing off of what he's doing.
Yeah.
I agree.
When
probably.
You say clandestine sources, what are your
think tanks, funds.
Yeah, I was just going to say
the Koch brothers.
The Koch brothers.
I mean, legit.
Conceivably, especially around the time of the Tea Party coming around, it's a pretty interesting argument you could make about the circumstances he was in 2009 and how it all fed towards the Koch brothers' benefit and what they were looking for with how they were funding the Tea Party through like Freedom Works and Americans for Prosperity. But the thing that I would say is that as soon as Roger Stone got arrested, Alex started changing things up a little bit. And he started expressing on air how much he wanted to go back to how he used to be. And that people were, you know, his listeners were like, Alex, we love your show, but, you know, we miss when you got into secret societies and all that stuff. And to me, that is what I think is as close to a redemption arc as he's going to have, which is I want to be who I used to be.
Right.
I have gone astray. And I think it'll work to some extent, but it won't work well. You know, it'll work.
And it's not getting him back on Facebook.
No, probably
that shit
not.
That shit is done.
No. But he doesn't need to save himself from a lot of the other stuff. Like, I think he can win a number of these lawsuits that are being filed against him. Like, just, but whether it's because the statute of limitations on the defamation that he did is up, or he has really good lawyers that might be able to get a settlement of something he's super guilty for. So he may not have to worry about redemption from that. People will forget about how bad a dude he is in a year if he just sort of hangs tight.
He can just go full David Icke and call everybody a reptilian.
You could.
Right.
That's definitely not Jews. The David Icke's talking about.
Right.
But David Icke hates Alex now, too, by the way. That's a fun little...
infighting.
Yeah. I think that's the best he can hope for redemption, is becoming a diminished, weaker version of the Alex who actually was talking about conspiracy theories. And then the alternative to that, the opposite of redemption, he could just become an outright Nazi propagandist, which is an option. It's on the table.
Because he can still have a job. Like, it doesn't matter if he's making millions of dollars or not. Like, he can still, you know, you can be a local radio show and you still got a job. You're not a millionaire, but hey, that's better than, you know, digging ditches.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I just know that people like him. I mean, he's obviously, the one thing we haven't talked about, he's obviously an egoist.
Very.
You know, and people with ego want more. Everybody's got ego, but people with the accelerated ego, above the super ego.
He's a malignant narcissist. Yeah. He's not. He doesn't have an ego. He's a
malignant narcissist.
He's a cancer narcissist.
To quote his ex-wife.
People like that, it's got to be in his craw that he doesn't have access to as many people and as much money.
Definitely, because he's tasted it. That's
right.
The difference.
Yeah, right.
That's the difference between before and now, especially. Like, even if he's getting some redemption, it's redemption of getting back to a place that he's been above. That's one of the other dynamics I find really interesting. But
your last point, your takeaway, if he was going to listen to this, Alex Jones tunes in. What's your comment for him and his listeners?
I'm not angry at him, so fuck you doesn't come to mind. I don't like him, so I love you doesn't come to mind. I would say there are literacy programs that are available, and Alex, you should get, I don't know, is Hooked on Phonics still around?
Hooked,
I'm not sure.
Hooked on Phonics worked for me.
But something like that would be really important, because I think that's the biggest problem that he has, is critical reading skills are in the toilet. And that could...
reading comprehension. So what you're saying is the Jews did it here? That's not what we're saying. That's what I took away.
Yeah, that's what I read.
Yeah. I would probably say, like, look out behind you, just to see what would happen. It's coming. Well, one of the things that he always does is he makes up these stories where I was walking down the street and then somebody came out and I was like, you think the globalists aren't real? And they were like, oh, you caught us. And then they started talking like demons. They were like, we will take you down.
They were blinking with their third eyelid.
So
it was crazy.
One of them starts talking and then the other finishes their sentence.
Exactly. Yeah. If I could, and he doesn't know what we look like, if I could, I would pull off that so quickly.
Oh my
just
God.
Like,
start speaking in tongues.
We've caught you.
That would be my favorite thing to do. Yeah.
I was holding my tongue because I figured I've got to wait for the final thought
forked?
For this. When we were talking earlier about that line between what does he believe and is he doing nefariously and intentionally, and what is just spinning amok and he's completely out of control, and it makes me think, I don't know anybody, you know, that's some kind of national global spotlight guy like him that manipulates, but it makes me think of something I think, John, you can relate to too, having, you know, in our side jobs and our past lives, like been in leadership of groups of people in like selling, is you run into salespeople and they create their own victimhood. Mm. And they come to you and they say, no, I know I'm going to get fired next month. It's not because I haven't done any of the things that you told me I'm supposed to do over the last 6 months. It's because I figured out alternative ways and you guys don't want me to have found them. And right. I literally couldn't tell you how many times I've been approached with that. And my first reaction is always, do you honestly think I care enough about you that I'm spending time like looking at you right. to set up this whole thing right. to fire you? Like
that's how the globalists look at Alex.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think there's a thing to that that fascinates me when I look at stories like him, even when I read any of these cult stories, when, you know, when I was boning up on some of the stuff with Jonestown in preparation for a conversation about that, like you see these spirals of these people that You can't separate intention from reality because he literally has created a scenario where there really are now government agencies after him. Like, because he did that.
Told
but now
you.
It's real.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, and it's so fascinating when you look at that and think about that and how that just creates that
his
endless
own
cycle.
Prophecy.
Yes. Yeah.
The government's not after you because of like your truth telling. It's because of you putting people at risk with your lies, and that's defamation.
So if I had a chance to say something to Alex Jones, I think it comes down to, before I say what I'd say, it comes down to, is he actually a psychopath or a sociopath? Can he experience empathy? Is it possible? Because what I would say would only be my choice if he can experience empathy. And if he can, I think back to a movie that was originally a book, A Time to Kill. And if you've seen that movie, at the end, Matthew McConaughey is talking to an all-white jury about this horrible rape of this little black girl. And he walks them through the event. You know, imagine this happened and imagine that happened. It's awful and it's terrible. But you really can't put yourself there because it's a little poor black girl and you're a Southern white aristocrat, you know. And then he, at the very end, he goes, now imagine she was white. And all of a sudden, and the reason that's such a powerful moment is because everyone, like, the light turns on and goes, oh, the empathy just hit them. Oh, now they can feel it.
Mm-hmm.
If he has empathy, I would want to say something to him. All those emotions you probably felt when they were coming after your kids, okay? When you would say anything or have your lawyer say anything to make sure that you held on to those kids, that's just custody. Think about what you're doing to the parents of people who lost their kids at Sandy Hook. If you can't feel the difference between those two, I don't care about free speech. Let's pull the plug on you. I'm done.
Well said. And I think he's past redemption. I think that he is. I don't think that he can see it in him, you know, or that I don't believe that he's either sees he's done anything wrong or knows he did the wrong and did it on purpose. And either way, I think he's shot the shit on that. And I don't know. Mm-hmm. So if I had anything to say to him, I don't know that I would, you know, because I think he's just a disgusting human being.
People often ask me, like, you should call in and talk to him. Like, I can see no less productive thing I could possibly do.
Right.
Like, I know a bunch of things about you. I know you're wrong. He's just going to yell at me.
Right.
Like, it's that sort of thing.
And turn you off.
So I may be closer to you. I would like to tell him to learn how to read, but if in reality, it was like, nah, just not engage.
Guys,
so,
when we started this show, one of our first episodes, we've been talking about the prepper world, and so we did an episode on prepping. Like, if shit's gonna go south, what do you put in a go bag?
And, there's nothing wrong. We both started a worst case scenario bag. It was kind of fun. My wife actually loved the idea.
It's a fun hobby.
Yeah. Well,
and
as long as it's not out of control.
That's right.
Yeah, I'll show you my
literally having something available should there be a natural catastrophe, something like that. Nothing wrong with that. Anyway, we did an entire episode where we like got MREs and we tried them on air and
cooking them in their own chemicals was a fun experience.
I'll tell you what'll be in my bug out bag.
I actually find them delicious.
Jagged Little Pill. Thank you very much. That shit's gone in there.
On
you can't
cassette.
Right.
Are you ready for the Broadway version? They're making a Broadway musical.
Really? What?
Yeah.
Jesus.
What?
It's true.
High risk, high reward.
It's called the Spider-Man of albums.
Yeah. I believe. You guys should do an upcoming episode. Not that you care about my advice, and you should order a bunch of his shit and just like take the brain powder.
I've thought about that, but I think that so many other people have already done it. There was like that guy who did that video for Vice recently where he took all of his supplements.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
There's been a number of people who have released videos where they do that, and I'm also kind of sensitive to stuff like that, and I feel like it could really fuck me up.
Right.
I had the runs for a week.
Yeah, and I also don't want to risk it working.
I've got full clarity in it.
Well, I guess I get 10% off if I auto ship. Fuck.
Yeah.
God damn it.
How tragic would that be if like the placebo effect worked for me or whatever?
Right. Or
it not working, you get the flak jacket, and you're like, all right.
Oh, that'd be worse.
Ready? Aim.
Well, there was a
I'm
recent
Johnny
episode.
Knoxville, and this is InfoWars.
There was a recent episode where he was talking about Turbo Force, the new one that he has.
It's an energy drink now.
And he was like, I drank half of one of these, so I am really fucked up right now. I can't handle this. And you're like, you're telling me not to drink your own shit. And that was half of one. You're insane.
His commercials for that now are all like, listen, I'm very serious about this. Take a quarter. Yeah. Take a quarter of what it is. It is too serious.
Nation, what do you guys think? John, how can they tell us?
Well, hop on Facebook.com, search Hysteria Nation. It's our Facebook discussion group where we talk about all of this and a whole lot more.
That's right. Also, you can tweet at us at Hysteria51Pod. Don't forget, we got Patreon, patreon.com/Hysteria51. Or you can leave us a voicemail, 773-669-7277. Again, 773-669-7277. Kind of a long episode. We got one to play this week. John, how's that sound?
I can't wait.
Hello, Hysteria Nation. This is David Childress. Oh. You might recognize me from the History Channel program, Ancient Aliens.
Shout out to Giorgio for us.
I wanted to call your program and inform you about a recent discovery that I made at Lake Titicaca and Pumapunku. That is of utmost importance in the ancient astronaut theory, and I wanted to tell you and your audience about it first. My fans and followers consider me to be the Indiana Jones of ancient archaeology, and I wanted to reach out to your podcast because I fail to understand why my name and my discoveries haven't been brought up on your podcast. My most recent
please insert 25
discovery
cents for the next 10 minutes.
David, thanks for calling in, and if that wasn't David, that was spot on.
That was great.
Go look up David Childress, and that cadence was amazing. That was really good. Sadly, it really was David, and he's like, son of a bitch. They didn't even play my whole voicemail. So, John,
that's his own fault. David Childress needs to tighten that up.
If they want to give us a call and leave their own voicemail, 773-669-7277. Speaking of contact information, gentlemen, where can people find you? Where can people find your podcast?
Especially now that you've been banned from social media.
Yeah, might as well.
I think the best place probably is just knowledgefight.com. It's our website. It has some links and stuff. Like, we're on iTunes.
Yeah, you can search for us. Yeah. Knowledge.
Find us anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Two words.
We're around.
Yeah. We're also really bad at any
totally
kind of plugging
terrible
or advertising.
And social media. Yeah. Just barely ever tweet anything.
Well, the listeners can come join us for drinks in Berwyn, Illinois after this, right?
Right now.
Come on out
right now.
Meet them face to face.
And so knowledgefight.com is your website. Mm-hmm. If you want to listen to the show, everyone, iTunes, wherever you
also
listen to
Alex
your podcast.
Also, alexjonesshow.us does redirect to our website.
That's so amazing.
One of our listeners did set that up, which is awesome.
That's hilarious.
Fillyourhand.com, N-F-O-W-A-R.
I don't remember how that one's spelled.
There's a bunch of every... If you misspell InfoWars for a while, you're eventually going to get to knowledgefight.com.
That's great.
So you guys know he is aware of you, right?
Almost certainly.
Probably.
I think it's a long shot that he's not, but I also accept the possibility that he doesn't know who we are.
What are the chances he's masturbated while thinking about you guys? Just realistically. 50-50.
84%?
84%.
84%.
16?
Yeah.
Right. Only the hard-hitting questions on this podcast. Yeah.
You guys, you knew what you were signing up for.
And while we're at it, Joe Peck, where can everyone find you?
Lingering around the bushes in front of Brent's studio.
I believe he told us, waiting. Yeah. I will be waiting.
I'll always be waiting.
Great job.
All right, gentlemen, thank you so much for coming on. It was a lot of fun.
A lot of fun.
So with that said, I've been Brent.
I've been Joe.
I'm Jordan.
Damn.
I've been John.
He's been Conspiracy Bot.
Stay woke, meat sacks.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. John and Brent will be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite. Join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a fourth hand joint.